Today's a practical message, not very emotional, just kind of practical. I think it will help you, and if you apply it, that is the biggest key. How many know medicine will do you no good if you don't take it? You can go to the store. How many know if you get an exercise machine and it sits there and collects dust, it ain't going to do you no good? Can I get a good amen this morning? And so we're talking about first, and our text has always been, everybody read it with me. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He talked about food and raiment and clothing and height and health and wealth and all that kind of stuff. He talked about all that before this passage. And then he said, if you will seek first, that is, put the big rock in first, the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. So we're talking about first is number three. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name today, open our minds that we can receive and understand. I pray for that, that understanding and knowledge would turn into wisdom as we apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around to somebody and say, do it. Would you just say, they do it? All right, you can be seated. Psalms 90 and verse 12 says this way. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Y'all can be seated. Teach us to number our days. We've been talking about not just knowing how many days you got left, but teaching us to number days. Now, if you didn't get an outline, raise your hand and Sal will get you an outline. If you did not get an outline, he'll raise your hand. They'll get some up front here. And so what we're doing today, we're talking about gaining a heart of wisdom. We do not need more knowledge. We got enough knowledge to last us the rest of our days. All of us know how we ought to eat, how we ought to exercise, how we ought to sleep, and on, but doing it is the big key. And so Psalm says, teach us to number our days, is that we do not need more information, we need wisdom, how to apply what we already know. Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the what? First. Everybody say first. And Proverbs says this morning, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. You know, if you don't have a plan, then you plan to fail. And what happens is you have to have some sort of direction that you're going in. A fool just takes off anywhere, just goes anyway. We discovered in this series that we're not just natural beings having a temporary Sunday spiritual experience, but we're actually spiritual beings as having a temporary physical experience. You're going to live forever somewhere. And you're a spirit being. The body that Jesus had could go through walls and eat and all kinds of things. We don't know all that it could do or not do, but we knew those things he did do with his body after he was raised from the dead. So we are spiritual beings that are going to have, we're having this temporary 70, 80, 90 year physical experience. And then we go back and we become our spiritual beings for the rest of eternity. And so we have to understand that if this year becomes the best year of your life spiritually, it will be the best year you've ever experienced. If this becomes the best year spiritually of your life, this will be the best year you've ever experienced in your life. So we talked about that. We talked about we took in these 21 days to put things in order. And we discovered that if you were to make resolutions and read your Bible and pray and make a resolution, do all that stuff, I'm going to be a better Christian this year. I'm just going to be a better, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to pray more. All those things will seem like a burden if you don't first fall in love with Jesus with all your heart. Because when you fall in love with somebody, then it's no burden anymore. It's no burden to go buy flowers, no burden to go buy a card, it's no burden to shine the car, it's no burden to clean the car, it's no burden to take a shower. Come on, somebody. It takes the burden some away. That's why John said we love his commands and the commands are not burdensome because we love doing it. Then we studied about order is important. Order of your life, how you order your life. Order determines capacity, how much you can get into your life. Order determines priority. No matter what you say with your mouth, if you don't do it. Now, so today we're going to talk about two things. Now, two different things. But first, if I were to come to you and somebody said, would you look at my husband or look at my wife or child or mom or dad, would you look at them and would you help me determine what is important to them? And I would tell you that here's what I would do. I would ask for two things. I'd ask for your calendar and I would ask for your checkbook. And I would go down your checkbook and I would go down your calendar. And I would determine by those two things what is important to you. Because the main criteria I use on a person is how they spend their time and how they spend their money. Those two things are the indicator of what is important to you. No matter what you say with your mouth, no matter what you've got written on a paper somewhere as your priorities, where you spend your time and where you spend your money is the tell-all of what you consider priorities and is important to you. So today I want to take the first one of those two is called time. I want to talk to you in a practical way. And I want to do a couple of things. The first part on the first side of the page is you get, most of you have ever been to a time management seminar, then you know these things. Whether you're doing them or not, it's a totally different, animal. But you know these things. The back side, I want to give you some things that you probably haven't heard and haven't dealt with time, and I'll do that in a way. For many of us, time use is completely out of order. I mean, we're just completely out of order. You know, the Super Bowl is next weekend. Is that right? The Super Bowl is next weekend? And they heard the story of the guy that went, those seats at the Super Bowl cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And the guy is sitting there, and right in front of him is an elderly gentleman, and the seat beside him is empty. And these things cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And finally, toward halftime, the guy couldn't hold him. He said, excuse me, he said, the seat's empty beside you. And it was good seats. And he said, yeah, this belonged to my wife, and she's passed away. And the guy behind him said, that's very honorable, keeping that seat in her memory. I said, but wouldn't one of your relatives like to come and sit there? He said, no, they're all at the funeral. Now, you reacted different than the morning crowd. They were about to lynch me in the morning crowd. Now, he had his priorities out of order. You think he had his priorities out of order? And I know it's high on the list of priorities for a lot of people, but he had his priorities. So what we're going to talk about is time priorities and how to set your time in order so that you don't end up like that fella. Boo on that fella. I don't hate that fella for all of you that want to know. All right. Ephesians, God looks down on the brevity of life and, he sees how short and how quick our life is. Bam! We're born in his sight. It's over. And most of you that's gotten older now, I mean, it's like that. It's like, wait a minute, what happened? Where am I? And God says, because he says, your life's like a vapor. It's like a mist. It's like, it's just here today, gone tomorrow. And so God comes, and here's what he says in verse 15 of Ephesians 5. Be very careful then, because it goes so fast. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise. That's somebody that doesn't number their days, doesn't order their days. Doesn't mean you number them how many you have left, but it means you put them in order. You order your day. You number your days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The way you become wise is you order your days. You become good in ordering your time. He says this, be very careful, God says. Then how you live, not as somebody unwise, which doesn't number their days, but somebody that's wise, someone that knows how to number their days. Verse 16 says, making the most of every opportunity. Now, one translation says it this way, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do you do that? How do you buy time? Each one of us has 1,440 minutes a day. Nobody's got more. Nobody gets less. No matter how rich you are, how poor you are, we all get the same amount of time. One guy said, man, if I could just have some more time. I said, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you ain't getting any more time. We all get the same amount. They're not making new. They're not making any of that stuff new. It's the same amount for each one of us, 1,440 minutes a day, and we decide how we're going to live those 1,440 minutes. Every one of us is given the same. We all have it. And so the Bible says, redeem it to buy it back. Put it back in the place that it ought to be. Make every opportunity. That means put it in the order. Learn how to do that. And verse 17 says it this way. Therefore, do not be foolish by not ordering your days, just living life as it comes. Okay, sarasara. Live your days according to knowledge and order your days, prioritize, number them, put them in order, so that you do not live as unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to break it down into two sections. The first section on the first side of the page is going to be stuff you already know, but probably are not doing. So I want to remind you today. And the second side will be things you probably have not heard or maybe have heard, but not in this way. So the time of your life, five principles about time. Number one, our most valuable asset is time. No matter what else you've got, you can always get more of. If you lose money, you know this, you can go get some more money. How many know if you have a bad haircut, you can always just wait a few months and you get more hair. Is that right? Well, some of you, it's not happening, I know. But I always learn bad haircuts like a bad meal. You know, you always got another one coming. I don't make a big deal about a bad meal because about 3 or 4 hours later, I'm going to have another one. So you always have more of. But time, once it's spent, you only get to spend it one time. So be careful how you spend it. You don't get to spend this morning another time. You get to spend it one time and it's spent. You couldn't have picked a better place than to come hear me. You spent your time. So what you do is you understand that it's the most valuable asset you've got, and you're not going to get any more. Successful people aren't successful because they're lucky. Successful people are successful because they know how to order their time. And they get rid of what is meaningless, and they do what is priorities. All right, number two. We cannot manage time. We can only manage opportunities. Albert Einstein said this statement. Albert Einstein, who knew more about time probably than any of us, said, you cannot manage time. You only manage. He said, time management, he said, is an oxymoron. He said, that is the silliest phrase because time keeps on marching. Whatever you do to it, it keeps on going. He said, you can't manage time. Time continues. He said, all you can do is take advantage of each of the moments that you have, and you can manage in the middle of time, you realize the opportunities. Number three, you cannot do everything. You know this in your mind, but you do not know it in the living experience. Many people think they can do everything. Wisdom consists in the elimination of the non-essentials. People who get things done not only have a to-do list, they have a not-to-do list. When's the last time you made a not-to-do list? Yeah, when's the last time you sat down and you made not a to-do list, you made a not-to-do list? Don't hit my finger again, right there, right across. Do not wear glasses when I'm drilling upside down with a bit. You will be in the eye doctor for a long time. I did that a while back. So they know what to give up so they can go up. So one of the keys about time management and ordering your days, that you live your life knowing what you can never indulge yourself in so that you know what you can get done that needs to be done. Families. I'm going to tell you, growing up with families today, kids, if you've got more than one or two or three kids, you know the schedule you've got to keep because you've got practices and baseball and soccer and piano and cheerleading and basketball and football and this and this and this and this and this. And you end up, you go get her, I'll get her. Now, I'll leave him over here. You come over here. How many of you have ever forgotten your kids? Let's see it. How many of you, be honest, you forgot your kids? It got so much stuff going on. Some of you forgot them at church. I know you did. We had to call you. Come back and get your kid because we ain't raising them. I know that. So what you've got to learn to do is you've got to learn how to say, we cannot do everything. We had a powwow at our family because then you throw church in that mix. And you have to say, we can't do everything. We just cannot do everything. So pick and choose, guys. You know, pick you one sport, pick you one activity. Do that because we cannot decide what is important and what's in the way of what's important. Because that's your not-to-do list. So decide what is important and then decide what's in the way of that. And then get rid of it. Do away with it. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of what is non-essential so you can focus on what is important. That's what pruning's all about. All of you that's grown any plant, you know that. You have to prune to be able to get rid of the non-essential so that what is essential, what's important, can get all the sap and the nourishment of that plant. So a lot of you have a lot of foliage and a lot of outgrowth and a lot of this stuff that needs to be clipped away so that that which part is there can grow. Let me tell you, some of you got your retirement like those commercials show. Your idea is, my boy's going to be a baseball player, pro baseball player. I'm going to retire off my little boy. Or football, or soccer, whatever it may be. Eliminate a lot of the stuff and say, hey, we got to limit ourselves. You cannot play 3, 4, 5 sports at one time. Take piano lessons and acting lessons and da-da-da. You need to do that. There, let me get the next one. There is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period. There is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period. Let me just check and see how. All of you have been in school, I think. Some of you I have got questions about, but most of you have been in school, and some of you are in school now. Let me ask you about exams or tests. How many of you, let's say the test is on Friday, how many of you began studying sometime late Thursday and didn't hardly go to bed until Friday? Let's see your hand. Let's see how many of you did that. All right, how many of you, in wisdom, started weeks ahead of time and began studying 30, 40 minutes, an hour a day, and built yourself up until test time? Let's see your hands. Yeah, I thought that's about right. And let me tell you, most of you do that in life. Because what you do is, the best way is there's a cumulative value to studying a little bit every day until test day. And then the night before, just putting it all away, enjoying yourself, relaxing, and then going into your exam. Most of them didn't do that. Most of you just started cramming the day of. In other words, if you'll just pick a few things. One of the best things Steve Jobs did when he got fired from Apple and started, you know, his other companies, that came back to Apple. When he took Apple back over a second time, Apple had like 20 or 30 products. So many that when you went in, you couldn't choose. One thing about a man has a hard time making up his mind when you give a man too many choices. Am I right or am I wrong? You just give him, you want black or you want white? Just choose right there. And what happened was Steve Jobs came in and he cut the Apple product line down to about 5 or 6 products. And right now, Apple's products, you don't get a blue me and different products. He cut it down. He limited it. And what he knew was, because then he put value into it. And one of the things you do with your life is you learn to take a long time to make a small list. And then invest every day in that small list. Begin to make it accumulative. Begin to do it little by little. And so what you do is, a lot of us, we live in regret. We live in the land of regret. Man, I wish 40 pounds ago I'd have started exercising. Man, I wish 20 years ago I'd have started, cut back with our family and did. Man, I wish when I was a little young guy I'd invested every day. Let me tell you something. All the young people, you can be a millionaire when you retire if you will invest a little bit every day. Or every week or every month or however you get paid. If you will be on a consistent program, you can be, well, let me just say you used to be able to. I don't know what the future holds, but you can't. But I would do that. If you do a little bit of time, you'll be a millionaire when you retire. There's no reason not if you put a little bit in at a time over the long haul. But stop living in the land of regret. And that's how I learned. See, Isaiah said, here little, there little, line upon line, precept upon precept. I studied the Bible not about 10. I never had the chance to go to Bible school, and so I learned the Bible on my own. And I studied 30 minutes here. I'd have an hour there. I'd have this, and I would study. And I did little by little. And if you will put, listen, there's a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in things, in certain activities, short activities, over a long period of time, every day. If you'll do that, the reason we tend to ignore that is there's no immediate benefit. See, some of you, let's say that you, this next week you go to the gym. You hadn't been to the gym in 42 years, but next Wednesday you go to the gym. And guess what? You come in here next Sunday, guess what? Nobody's going to look at you and say, boy, you look different. You're all buff. Man, you're going to look the same next Sunday as you look right now over one visit. Is that right? And the reason we don't do this is because there's no benefit. There's no immediate benefit from this. And the other reason is there's no immediate problem. Let me write this. There's no immediate, not only benefit, there's no immediate consequences if we don't. Let's say instead of Wednesday, you don't go to the gym. You just eat 5 Oreo cookies all at one time. Guess what? You come in next Sunday, guess what? You look the same as if you go to the gym. Because that one little thing is no consequence over that one little thing. Am I right or am I wrong? You can sit there and eat fried catfish. Boudin ball. I mean, you can sit there and eat. You can eat hush puppies, everything fried, deep fried. Fry that thing out. Here, fry my Dr. Pepper. Fry that in. Let me have that thing. Eat that thing fried. And you come in next. I don't feel a bit different. I don't feel bad. You eat that over about 30 years. You and your cardiologist are going to be best buddies. You know that? You're going to put your cardiologist's kids through college is what the deal is going to be. You're going to buy it. So what happens is this. You've got to understand that there's a time lapse in the reaping and the sowing. And the reason we don't put this accumulative, we don't see it immediate. But if you will do this, if you will go to the gym the next year, how many know in a year's time we look back and say, whoa, what happened to you? Or investing, or in relationships. Start reaching out. You don't do everything all day long, but you do the same things every day a little bit of time. And you'll see the things change in your life. You've got to understand that on and on. All right, next one, decide what is important and then manage that decision daily. I know most of you know all this, but you need to hear it again. Listen, decide what is important and then manage that decision daily. One of the keys about New Year's resolutions is somewhere around February 1st, they are long forgotten. You don't even remember most of the time. I don't remember what I was. You forgot what you're going to do. Because the big one-time decision has to be managed daily. You will not keep up resolutions. New Year's resolutions are absolutely worthless unless you're going to manage them daily. You understand that. You take a long time to make a short list. You only have to decide once. You only have to decide one time. Take a long time and make a short list of what is important to you. And you don't have to get up every morning and say, what's important to me? I took a long time, prayed it through, here's my list of what's important. And then what you have to do is write it down and then manage that thing daily. Jesus said it this way. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. That's the New Year's resolution. That is the New Year's resolution. That's your big one-time decision. I'm going to deny. That doesn't mean deny yourself the extra milkshake. It means deny self. Deny ownership. Turn it over to Jesus. Make that decision. You're going to do that. You're going to make the big decision. But he said, but it won't last unless you do this. Watch. Must deny themselves and then take up their cross what? You got to manage that decision daily. You got to every day manage that decision that you made, the big one time, denying self. I'm dying to self. I'm giving. And then you got to manage that cross daily. Every day you got to get up and say, okay, today I decide to be a Christian today. Today I'm deciding this. Today I'm managing it. The same will be true with all your resolutions. You make one big old revolution. I'm going to lose 42 pounds this year. Yeah, it's my resolution. By February, you're eating everything in sight. I mean, vroom, 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 vroom. Let's go. Vroom, 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 vroom. And what happens is you've got to manage that resolution every day of your life. Make a list. Get in your prayer time. Pray over it. Let the Lord lead you. Look at it every day. Rehearse it every day. Values that you're going to put in there. Because priorities do not stay put. They have a way of slipping and sliding. And you have to check on your priorities consistently every day. Now, That's if you go to a time seminar, you get most of that. Turn your paper over. Let's go and do some things you probably don't get. This is time for what really matters in life. Even if you apply the message, and chances are you're going to forget to put in certain things. And I want to give you three things in ending this morning that you need to put in your to-do list. Whatever your not to-do list is, these three need to be in your to-do list. Three very specific things. Number one, make time for renewal. Make time for renewal. A generation that we live in, we live in probably the most fast-paced generation on the face of the planet Earth. There are some other countries that are even faster paced than us. We've been there. Singapore is unbelievable. If you ever go to Singapore, it is the most fast paced. Most of them have other people raising their kids. You go to Indonesia, you go into Kuala Lumpur. We've been to places where most of them, they're not even raising their own kids. They've hired very poor people come in and raise their kids, be nanny, and basically raise their kids for them. Because they've got this to do and that to do and this to do and that to do and this to do. And some of us, we've hired TV to raise our kids. I'm treading where angels fear to trod now. I can feel it coming. Pastor, everything was okay until you. And so what happens in life is this. We're going too fast. You're going too fast. Slow down. Make a not-to-do list up. Because you need to make, listen, if you want to live your life effectively, you cannot forget the spiritual principle of rest, of renewal. It's so hard to sit and be still. I double dog dare you this week. We're going to take a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and pray together again. If you can't be out here physically from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, tune in on the website. We're streaming it live. You can be with us Monday, Tuesday. But you know what? We hardly ever have a moment when there's some kind of noise happening. Or we're looking at something, or watching something, or reading something. How was the last time you ever had a day silent? You have you get the TDs. You'll have withdrawal pains. We love to go on cruise. Every year we go on a cruise for our anniversary because we do that because the phones don't work out there. Come on, somebody. Nobody can call you. You just sit there. In fact, we try to get a balcony suite so that we can not even go out of our room. Just call this room service and bring it on in here. Yeah. And so what happens is this. I double dog dare you to take a day and get off of everything. We talked about that last week. Just take a day and get off of everything. Turn your phone. Some of you don't know this, but your phone will turn completely off. I don't know if you know that. There is a button. I'm not kidding. There's a button on your phone, and your phone will cut all the way off. I mean, all the way off. All right. In the 50s, they predicted that when computers come out, there was a prediction in the 50s that our workday would trim down to 30 hours a week because computers would take over and do so much. That women would have vacuum cleaners. Instead of having to sleep, they had vacuum cleaners and dishwashers and work weeks. Everybody would just have so much more time. I mean, no, that was the best thing. That was about as good as Custard looking out there and saying, well, they look friendly. Come on, somebody. So when you come to that life, you end up in your life understanding. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul faced the same junk that we did. And here's what he did. He said, therefore we do not lose. Okay, Paul, how do you do that? How do you not lose heart in the midst of all this nonstop activity and going and corruption politically and immorality and all? How do you not lose heart? Here's what he said. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're doing what? We're learning how to be renewed. How many? Not that big resolution at January 1st. Not a New Year's resolution. He said, but we learn how to do this every day. Renew ourselves every day. Every day renew yourself. Every day renew it, day by day. David said in Psalms 23, he said, he makes me. Let me tell you something. If you don't stop pretty soon, it's a warning, he'll make you lay down. He made me lay down. I got what? I got how much of my artery blocked? 99%. How much is the second one? 88%. Won't you lay down a little while? If you don't lay down, he'll make you lay down. David said he makes me lie down in green pastures. He didn't say he lovingly invited me to lay down in green pastures. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and then what does he do? Beat me up when I'm there? He holds me up. Now, you know what he does? Because he wants renewal. He wants to restore my soul. He wants to restore, not just physically. He'll do that too. But he wants to renew you spiritually. He restores my mind, my will, my emotions. That's what your soul is. He restores my soul. So one of the keys about it is you have to make time for renewal. You have to do that. That's what the Sabbath is all about. This is more than semantics. This is a mindset. And I want you to get this. Because in the Bible, there's a thing called a Sabbath. Sabbath was from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. It was called the Sabbath. And I want you to know that because God is big on the Sabbath. In the list of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. That was before adultery, before murder. It was listed before a lot of bad stuff. And so God's big on this thing called the Sabbath. But what happened was we took it, the Jews took it and did it first, and we've done it ourselves. We've made the Sabbath to be something it was never intended to be. We made the Sabbath to be something so religious and so out of what Jesus and God meant for it to be that is absolutely warped in our brain what the Sabbath is. And so the Bible says God came on the Sabbath, and the word Sabbath means to cease, to stop. And the Jewish culture tradition, it meant stop and cease, recognize you cannot accomplish what you're going to accomplish in your own strength. You need God's strength. You need God's ability. You need to cease. So they believed that you had to Sabbath first and then work. So Sabbath was you Sabbathed and then you worked. That's why their day begins in the evening. The day begins at dark and then it ends tomorrow at dark. So they're not resting or Sabbathing. They're not doing that from the day before in their mindset. They're not doing, well, I'm so tired, I work so hard, man, I got to go to bed, rest. What they're doing is they're resting in preparation for the next day. The way in God's mind, that's what they rest, for. They rest and then they work. That's why the Sabbath always began at dark. You sleep first in preparation for your work. And the way it was related to the day after the sleep. That's why in Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God called the vault sky, and there was an evening, and there was morning the second day. You see what God did? The Bible says God began in God's economy the first day. You back all of our days, all the way back. The first day began it with darkness. And out of that came light for the first day. See, there was a time when the first day occurred. And the way the first day occurred was it was dark and then light. You Sabbathed, and then you worked. You rested. You got ready, and so that when you entered into what you were going to do, you were rested for that day. It's more than semantics. I'm going to get to you. It's a first principle. It's a principle if you don't Sabbath because you're tired, you Sabbath in preparation so you don't get tired. It's a first principle. When did God make Adam? On what day? The sixth day. Can you imagine Adam? I mean, he's created. God brings him out of the dust, molds a creature, blows a breath of life in him, and man became a living soul. Hello, God. Oh, I feel good. What are we going to do? And that's the end of the first day. I mean, the sixth day. And God said, oh, I'm ready, God. What are we going to do? Sabbath. Can you imagine getting a job? First day on the job, you go into work, and you say, what are we going to do today? Vacation. You take a vacation day. Go on vacation. You just take a vacation day. First day at work, just take a vacation. His first day at work, and God says, go ahead and take a vacation. We're going to Sabbath. The seventh day was a Sabbath. And all is, remember I told you a first principle? The first day of his existence. The first full day of his existence. And I told you this, work was never part of the curse. He tilled the garden when before the fall. So if you listen, guys, women, never marry a man that won't work. Well, he just down on his luck. He just not wanting to work. Don't marry him. Run from him. He's gonna eat you out of house. And don't marry a man that will not work. So Adam sits there his first day, and all he's doing is Sabbath, resting. How many know Monday, when Monday rolled around, he was ready to roll? He was rested. He was invigorated. He'd been with God. And so that's why the early church moved their meeting from Saturday to Sunday. Because what they did was Sunday, believe it or not, Sunday is the first day of the week. Not the end of the weekend. It's the first day of the week. The new week started today. And the early church moved their service to show that we're not bound by, that a Sabbath is not just on a certain day. A Sabbath is on every day. And you take time with the Lord and you put that in before the Lord. You can say, hear what Jesus, one time Jesus had a lot of trouble with the Sabbath because of misunderstanding people's brains. They're walking through the cornfields one day and they're hungry. And the Bible says the disciples took the corn, the grains of corn, began to eat them. And the Bible says that the Pharisees got irate. You know, this is Sunday, or that day, but Sabbath, this is Sabbath. You don't do that on a Sabbath. You mow your yard on a Sabbath. You're giving. One time, Jasmine's grandfather, one of Jasmine's brothers was sick, right? And the mother went and got medicine at the pharmacy on Sunday. And he was so warped in his brain. This is Samuel's dad. Warped in his brain about what you can or cannot do on a Sunday. When she came in with that medicine, he took that medicine from her and poured it down the sink. So, because you put that medicine on us. You don't go shopping on Sunday. What's wrong with your brain? This is Sunday. So Jesus' disciples ate this corn of bread. And here's what happened. They all got wrath. Then he said to them, and can I add to this? I was there, Jesus says, that first Sabbath day. I was there. Because the Bible says all things are of him, through him, and to him. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was in the beginning. He created all things created by him and through him and for him. He was there when Adam was created. So when he spoke that day to these people and said, the Sabbath, listen, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I was there. Adam was made on the sixth day. The Sabbath day came on the seventh. We didn't make Adam for this day. We made this day for Adam. Not that he'd be something where you're afraid to even do this or do that or become so. It's a renewal day. Today you renew your heart with God. But he said, many times, he healed the blind woman. The woman that was crippled. He healed the blind man. All these things took place on the Sabbath. And they got so infuriated with him. He said, which one of you has a donkey falling into a pit and you won't bring him out on the Sabbath day? How much more this woman who's bound ought to be loosed? Let me tell you something about the Sabbath. You ought to do good on the Sabbath. You ought to do good. You ought to be a day of renewal, a day of helping, a day of giving. You don't just sit there and become some religiousness to where you can't do this and do that on the Sabbath. That's just warped thinking. The Sabbath was never to be that way. And I'm going to tell you, Sunday was never the Sabbath day. It is still Friday sundown. If you want to keep a day and say, this is the holy day, it's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. It has nothing to do with Sunday. Sunday was never the Sabbath. Sunday was never a holy day. We moved it to Sunday to show that we're not bound by a day. I'm about to get stoned here, but put that in your pipe and smoke it. Jasmine didn't like me to say that. All right, number two. Let me do this real quick and end up. Make time for eternal reward. Write that word eternal and above reward. Make time for eternal reward. If all you do is chase the temporary, the American dream, have a house, nice house, two and a half kids, a dog, cat, and all that stuff, then you'll end your life not really happy. Make time for eternal reward. Do something that is one of the best things I ever learned in my life. One time we had an owner of a company here, and we were doing some outreach. And I remember I went there, and he was doing some menial task. I mean, that even the dumbest person could do. And I went over to him. I said, hey, I know there's probably something better we can get you involved in. And he looked at me and said, no. He said, I run a company. He said, but I'm telling you, the only thing that's probably going to last for eternity is what I'm doing right here. Come on, somebody. I'm doing something that's going to make an eternal difference in their life. And what you learn to do is this. You come to a place, make time for eternal reward. Get involved. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:14, he said it this way. He said, I've seen it all. Everybody say, I've seen it all. He said, I've seen it all. I married it all. I dated it all. I went out with it all. I ate it all. I enjoyed it all. I wrote it all. I did it all. He said, I see it all. All the things that are done under the sun, all of them are meaningless and chasing after the wind. If what you're doing is things under the sun. But there's an opportunity that we can live today. You can do stuff for over the sun. Come on, somebody. You can do stuff which is eternal, stuff that will last you the rest of your life. If you're not doing something that's making a difference for eternity, you're not spending your time the right way. In your to-do list, make a part of that something that you're doing that means something for eternity. Take time for renewal. Do it before you get tired. Take time for renewal for your marriage before you have problems. We ain't killing each other, and we ain't talked about divorce in, I don't know, 3 weeks, so we ain't going to no marriage seminar. Go before you need a rest. Go before you need it. Do it before. It's not that you need the, I mean, we go to seminar, we're about to kill each other. Go before that gets to that place. Live your life evening and morning. Live your life evening and morning, dark and then light. Live your life where you're going to Sabbath, even not because you're tired or worn out, but you're doing it in preparation. Live your life that way in every area of your life, your relationship with the Lord every day. But then do something on your to-do list that's for eternity. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4, he said it this way, I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. My time and my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but everybody else that orders their days aright. Everybody else that's looking forward to his appearing because you've been wise and you're living. You're not shrinking away and, oh, God, you're so, God, I've poured my life. Here it is. I've lived my life, and there's been a portion of my life that's lived for eternal things. And it's there. So to learn how to do that, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, he tries to tell Timothy for him to tell others to spend their time wisely. He said, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of life, of the life that truly is life. Don't get to the end of your life and realize you never lived. Don't get to the end of your life and realize you never really lived what's truly life. I told you this, one of the best things you can ever do with your life is get part of a small group. And then, not only worship, but serve. Get in some ministry and serve. Get in something that's eternal, that's making a difference, eternity, and then serve in that minute. It'll make the difference. And then number three, the last one, make time for relationships. Don't just go to church, be in love with God. Proverbs 10:27 says this way, reverence for God adds hours to each day. You'll get more done and more. Then Hebrews tells us, of course, don't let the meeting of yourselves together. Now, the last statement says, I will put first things first and give focus and energy to the things that are eternal. I'll put first things first and I'll give focus and energy to the things that are eternal. Alfred was a young man. His family was pretty well-to-do, and they were a very creative bunch. In fact, he ends up with over 350 patents in his life. His father created what is today we call plywood. In fact, it's where plywood came from. And he, though, most of their inventions and their patents had to do with stuff for the military and for blowing up things and killing people and on and on. And one day his younger brother is working on some explosive type thing, and he blows up and blows himself up and kills himself. Well, the French newspaper in Paris mistakenly thought it was Alfred, the older brother, the one that took over the company, that he had died in the blast. And so the headlines of the French newspaper said, it said, the merchant of death is dead. The merchant, and in the article, it's an article about himself. He's reading the newspaper, and they're writing it about him. And it's Alfred, his inventions have killed more people than any other inventor on planet Earth, is dead. The merchant of death is dead. And he looks at this thing, and he said, that's what's going to be on my tombstone. That's what would be said about me. And he did this. He made up his mind. He retired, he took his hundreds of millions of dollars, put them in a trust fund, and set up, his name was Alfred Nobel. And he set up with his hundreds of millions of dollars that was made off of war, much of it off, he created dynamite, much of it, all the war things. He set up what's called now the Nobel what? Yeah, when I say Nobel, you don't think of the Merchant of Death. You think of the Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. And what he did was he said every man ought to have the opportunity to change their epitaph. Every man ought to have the opportunity to change their epitaph. And let me tell you something. You know, they say the flu is going around now. You know, you can go get your flu shot. Do you know what the flu shot is? It's the flu! One doctor said, it's the flu without its power. They inject your body with a little bit of flu that doesn't have the power, and it triggers your immune system to fight it, and so that when the real stuff comes along, you know, with power, then it can fight it off. And I thought, man, how like the South, in the religion in the South. A lot of people have just enough religion to inoculate them against the real stuff. Come on, somebody. I'll go to church. I worship. I pray to thank you, Jesus. And then I leave there, and next Sunday I'll do it again. See, the real thing is when you're so in love with God 24/7, you just love Him. Change Him. Bow your heads, would you? Hey, let's quit. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. But Lord, we pray today. We ask you, Lord, we don't want to be just enough religion to where we don't really get the real stuff. We want to be infected, Lord, with you. We want you to infect us, Lord, with the real stuff, the stuff that's got power. We don't want to just be infected with the stuff without power. We just have a show, an outward show, but denying the power thereof. We want to have the real stuff in our lives this morning. So I want everybody to pray with me, would you? And you just help those that really need to pray this. We'll help them pray it. But if you really want to make a change and really get infected with the real thing, let's say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. I surrender my life. Take over every bit of me. Thank you for dying because of my sins. Thank you for hanging on a cross, taking my punishment. I receive you this morning. Would you invade my life? Every bit of it. I surrender it all. I ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? God bless you. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. We're praying 7 to 8. If we're not here, then get on the internet. God bless you. We'll see you then.